Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery. Broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Majestic, Buckhead, as I look out over the skyline with the magnificence of the fall. And like the turning of the seasons, life turns in the same way. We have spring, we have summer. A lot of us have lovely fall, some of us don't. But for the people who spend their time in recovery and have difficulty, winter is the time that they seem like they spend the most time, where the times are dark, it's cold, without feeling difficulty. I know that being in AA for 20 years, the next chip that I will pick up will be my 20-year chip. And it isn't, I'm just making it by the skin of my teeth one day at a time. Or like I'm living every day with no higher purpose or higher calling than living not to drink. There is more to life than living one day at a time, just trying to make it through. Now, if that's what your life is like, and that's all that you can do, then that's all that you can do. And there are times when it's like that for everybody, or at least most. We live in a society where there seems to be as if there are more people that are dysfunctional than not, including those who are leading us. But I'm here to tell you that there is a future, there is a hope, and that if you take your adversities, if you take your wounds, if you take the things that are difficult for you, and you bring them to the Lord, and you ask Him, what do you want me to learn through this? What do I need to do so that I don't ever have to be in this dark place again? He'll teach you. He's right there with you when you're having the trouble. Once He comes into your life, He never leaves, and He never forsakes you. Neither height nor depth nor anything created nor anything can keep you from the love of God. Once you have Christ in your life, that's just the way it is. All right, now I really want to kind of open up this show. As I do so often, I do it with a prayer, and this one is a little different because it's not the glass half empty and how difficult life is, but this is kind of like when you're strengthening your relationship with God and you're walking with Him, it produces a joyful countenance. Have you ever noticed that the people who have a genuine walk with the Lord are pleasant to look at? They're not hard. They're not callous. They don't have that bitterness. They don't have that wariness. This isn't necessarily the leaders. I'm just talking about, you know, people that are just live their life unaffectedly walking with Almighty God. Here's the prayer. Father, my spirit has been rejuvenated. Even my step seems much lighter as the debilitating burden of my path has been lifted from my shoulders. Having become free to walk into the future, unencumbered by the guilt and shame that resulted from my self-defeating behavior. I want my life to have greater meaning than the mediocrity that has become my lot. No longer consumed by the worthless pursuit of unfulfilling materialism, I feel unfettered, free to pursue your noble, altruistic leading. My spirit has been awakened, and I want to spend my days pursuing goals set forth by you, purposes planned from ages past. I've learned I can discern your leading more easily by looking back rather than looking forward. Whatever you have in store for me, regardless of what that might be, that is where I want to spend my days. Having wandered so far from you, I know that I have what I'm capable of doing, of who I am capable of being. The person I've been in the past is not who I want to be in the future. Guard my heart so that I will not wander from your calling purposefully, pursuing fruitless, meaningless endeavors. Allow my heart to exalt in your ways. Make me resolute and joyful, fulfilling your will each and every day for all that remains of my life. Amen. Now, as we talk about these things, it's so easy to get caught up in the guilt and recriminations of our past and not to live in the joy of the moment. I think there are a lot of people that struggle with that. Stacy's on the line with me. Robert McGee, by the way, is not feeling well today and would like to ask your prayers for him. So while we're talking here, just think about that. And Stacy, how are you today?
I'm great. Nice and cooling off here in Florida. And that was a wonderful prayer that brings one back to the reality of where they should be.
You know, I find that true. I think that so many of the people that we deal with, so many believers, are consumed with their own guilt, their own shame, and really are unwilling to live in the forgiveness that is already theirs. And, you know, I remember I was talking to somebody. And when they first believed, they just felt so free. But then years later, the burdens of guilt, you know, just absolutely consumed them. Some of them, you know, real things. You know, people that have been involved in affairs, people that have done unethical things, people that, you know, that have been addicted to alcohol and prescription drugs and pornography and all of those things. And there is shame associated with that and definitely guilt, and that's how they feel. But I remember asking this one woman, who was really burdened because of an affair that she had. And she couldn't, you know, this was many years after it was over, many years, but still feeling guilty. And I said, well, has God forgiven that? And just like, she felt like she was relieved of all of her guilt when she became a believer, but then the new guilt. Have the same kind of remedy. And I thought that was really interesting because it's certainly not true. And I said, well, you live in time and you think in time and God doesn't. when he paid for people's sins, he paid for all of them, all at once, not just for the ones that you have done, but for the ones that you still are yet to do. Because if you didn't, he'd have to come back and die again. So people
that's a hard
have
concept
a tendency
to grasp.
To forget that. It is a hard, but it's really simple when I say it like that, don't you think?
Yeah, it's so simple
it's
we skip
not,
over it.
It's just not easy for people to accept because they're, I think a lot of people think that, okay, if I feel guilty, then I'm paying for my own sin.
Exactly.
Well, if you're doing that, then you don't need the Lord. Doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to accept what he has done and put it behind you. You know, and I remember one of the things that that we discussed in our search for reality. If Almighty God focused his entire attention upon you 1 hour. I mean, you were the only person in the world that he thought about. How much of that hour would you spend thinking about this problem? And when I asked people that when we were writing the material, I was just amazed. I mean, I remember this one woman, lovely woman, said, "Oh, I'm almost all of it." Another half of it. But there wasn't anybody that I asked. I asked 8 or 10 people. There wasn't anybody that said none. And that's the answer.
You know, Jack, I read an interesting statistic the other day, right along the lines that you're talking, and it said that 75% of people in churches are under the law. That's their mindset. And only about 25% live according to God's grace. And when you live under the law, there's no way you can be happy. The law just, you know, it was basically established to show us that we can't keep it and establish our need for a Savior. And I thought about instances in my own life, and that's true. We think we need to punish ourselves.
Do you remember where you read that?
No, because I read a lot, and it was just something I was reading in the evening.
No.
I wish that I had captured it.
It surprises me because I'm surprised that 25% realize that they live by grace. My guess would be that it would be more like 95-5. There are very few people that if people lived in the freedom of who they were in Christ, they wouldn't be so defeated. They wouldn't be so negative. They wouldn't think that Satan and the forces of evil are winning and have dominion over us. They would recognize that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world, and that we are fully capable of being strong men and women in Christ. There's just a very few people that actually believe that and live like that on a day-to-day basis. Now, I was, with Dr. McGee down in Nashville about 3 weeks ago, and we were there with Christian Council. And the
Christian counselors are the ones that help those who are really hurt and wounded. And that makes them kind of like the special forces of Christianity. If we're, you know, if we're all the army of Christ, they're like the special forces. Or the medics. Or both. But I was amazed at how many of them had been impacted by the Search for Significance, which Robert McGee wrote a quarter of a century ago. That's still sold 3 million books. I mean, there are very few books that have sold that many, and even less Christian books. But, you know, it's one of the residual bestsellers for a reason. It helps people recognize exactly who they are, and until they know that, just, you know, should I do this, should I not do that, they really have a hard time, just living life on life's terms. Now, with me saying all that about Search for Significance, tell everybody a little bit about that more than you get it. And by the way, that's the first of two books that, the second part of it, we've just released, and that's Search for Reality. I helped Robert write that. I mean to tell you, it was a difficult book to write, but not just to get it right and to get things so simple that people could understand it, but we've done that. So tell them a little bit about both of those things and where they can find them.
Sure. Search for Significance basically teaches you who you are in the Lord. And Search for Reality comes along and explains why most of our Christian lives are not very much different from our secular friends. It opens up the deceptions that the enemy has thrown at us, teaches us to recognize them, to recognize the thoughts as evil thoughts that did not come from God. And if it didn't come from God, we don't want it. And both of those books you can see on our website, which is www.mcgeepublishing.com, or you can call 800-460-4673, and I'll be glad to assist you.
You know, one of the other things that I want to talk about here is that we have believers wanting to experience the abundant life, which they don't, most of them. If they're immature and if they don't really know, you know, what the scriptures teach, let themselves off track and start following, you know, like a Pied Piper, and get really far off track. I've noticed that there are a number of reasons why trusting naive Christians put themselves in harm's way. Committing themselves to things that become religiously abusive. And of course, that's what we do more than anything. We help people who have suffered from religious abuse, from abuse of one kind or another, whether it's religious or sexual or chemical or they're codependent and just feel like it's their responsibility to hold the world together. The reason that people, you know, follow bad things is, I think the greatest thing is that their goals are self-serving, which young believers have a hard time recognizing. I know this kind of thing, somebody told me, Camp Crusade, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. My thought on that was that he was going to make very successful, and that I would not have a lot of adversity in my life. time ago, and that isn't true. The abundance that he's talking about is the character quality of love and joy, peace, faith, kindness, wisdom, self-control. And all of the estimable things that come walk with the Lord. That's what he wants in people's lives. And he will go to any means to make it a reality. And so often, we do self-destructive things thoughtlessly, not really knowing what we're doing. We're not caring. We're badly fooled and deceived, and we end up making a mess out of our lives as a result of it. And if our goal is to pursue the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, or the boastful pride of life, and call those God's will, then we're deceiving ourselves, and it doesn't work. And you know, just to be honest with you, I've tried. And it doesn't work. And pay a price. You pay a penalty for it. You know, and that's some of the stuff that, you know, that makes it really, really difficult for us. And, you know, I know that there's so many hurting people out there, so many hurting believers. People who use food to make them feel better about it. They comfort themselves with eating. They comfort themselves with taking prescription drugs, well, the doctor prescribed it. So they walk around like they're half zombies. And then you know, there are people that go beyond that and get involved in chemical dependency. And, you know, that is a really tough thing to break. Now, we address that with a book on that, don't we? Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about that?
This is one of our greatest programs, and it has a very high success rate. It's called Conquering Chemical Dependency. And we also have a leader's guide that goes along that DVD that is just profound. And I talk to people all day that have these kinds of issues, and I hear their struggles, and I hear how this program works for them. I can tell you, in the prison system in Alabama, with 5 prisons, this has a 90% success rate. It's unheard of.
When you say 90% the success rate, what does that mean? Tell people, because I'd like to know.
It means that they overcome their addiction.
There you go.
They go on to lead productive lives. They're given tools. And I believe, Chuck, it's because Jesus is addressed as the great physician. He is the great physician. Not some higher power, but Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And this is, you know, you can see this on our website along with all of our other books. We have just a plethora of healing available. It's at www.mcgeepublishing.com, and the phone number is 800-460-4673.
Now, I don't believe that there are any programs out there that even come close to that kind of success rate.
I don't either. And a chaplain,
and I don't know this for a fact, so I'll just say that, is that people are going to treatment centers, at least half or more go back out and have the troubles. And, you know, I know that that's true about alcoholism. And chemical dependency is really harder to treat. I would think the recidivism of it would be even higher than that. But something that works, you know, that has a 90% success rate, what is the reason for that? Why are there so many more people that are helped by conquering chemical, using constant chemical our program than others? Why is that? I mean, it just seems astounding. I know it's true, but, you know, people say, well, okay, what's the big deal? Let me in on the secret. What would you say the secret is?
You know, Jack, the only secret I know is that God has blessed this program. Just like God has blessed the search for significance, these are anointed material. And it's not anything Robert has done or any of the people involved. It's the anointing from the Holy Spirit. It's like the healing balm of Gilead that soothes these people's souls. And these statistics are from inmates. A chaplain is the one who gave, he was in charge of all five prisons, gave me these statistics. And that's the only thing anybody can come up with.
You know, and particularly people in prison, they have pulled the floor. That, you know, just getting wasted and begging out. I mean, I can see that people taking that as an option. I think it, you know, it's sad, but I understand that far more than people in regular society. But at the same time, I understand that too. And particularly in these times that are so uncertain and, you know, and where, you know, our legs are knocked out from under us at every turn. And it's really just difficult to live life on life terms without getting defeated by it. And, you know, in a nation where, you know, there are so many things that are kind of stacked against people's faith.
Yep. And, Jack, it's especially poignant to see the DVD that goes along with this series, because it's filmed in Angola prison. And, you know, those prisoners there have no chance. And they evangelize the other prisoners that come in. When I saw it, because I was working for Dr. McGee when it was filmed, I literally cried to think these people with no hope are helping others. It's just, it's phenomenal what can be done when the heart is open and the Holy Spirit is allowed to move.
Well, I think that that's just tremendous, and it's such a big problem that it's certainly one of our best sellers. You know, there's just a lot of, and once somebody gets on the downside of addiction, I mean, they have something where they have a physiological problem, and putting it down is hard. I remember trying to stop drinking on my own, and I would, you know, I'd say, okay, I'm not going to drink anymore. And I was unable to do it until I really was able to turn it over. And it was hard. It was hard. So, that's this is a really interesting topic, and everything. And I, you know, it's been a hard time for a lot of people, and there is hope out there. Trying to go back to the beginning of what I said, you can get past just living one day at a time. You can get to the point where life is very rewarding. And I know that doesn't happen. But anyway, we're out of time today, so let me say to everybody, thank you. Thank you, Stacy, and God bless you all, and God bless the United States of America.